Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White.
You don't necessarily need irons to play golf. I'm just going to hit driver and bump three woods in the fairway and then putt.
And Joe DiBiase.
Anyone, I've got a buddy who hits a golf ball like 300 yards, but it goes everywhere.
Well, of course I know him. He's me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Everybody, good morning. Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Joe? What's up, guys? Josh, Owen, happy football season.
How are we doing?
Good.
Football season.
Good. I am broadcasting from home today for the first time in a while. Long time. I think, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, a couple times here and there during the off season, but not much. Yeah.
Yeah. And this capability. There, you know, it's funny, like the number of times post-COVID that people will ask me, are you going in these days? I'm like, yeah. Yes, definitely going in, have been since, you know, whatever. We were all split for whatever, like a year when Howard was still here. But yes, going in all the time, seeing your beautiful faces, collecting $5 every couple days. You know how it goes.
Yeah. Is that a tee up for people to tell you that they don't go back into the office typically? Is that what that ends up being?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe. That's a good question. I never thought about it that way.
Because a lot of people ended up never really going back in.
Yeah,
some
fields, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy football season. You know what I woke up thinking? Will the Bills play in this game next year?
Hope so, and I hope it's for I hope they're the home team, of course, more than anything.
But that's what I was going to actually have a little fun with.
Yeah.
Is would you bet them to play in this game their away opponents next year?
Okay.
All right. So either
away
the Bills win the
year.
Super Bowl or it is the someone in the division. We don't think so. Denver?
No. Probably
Green
not.
Bay?
Maybe.
Minnesota?
No.
The AFC South winner?
No.
Or the NFC West winner? So that's like Niners?
Niners or Packers?
Rams, Packers, Broncos.
Yeah, those are even Denver is like... Yeah, no, okay, Denver. I mean, if I'm picking them to win the division, I think I have to be open to them going on a little bit of a run. So, okay, Green Bay feels the most likely in that group.
Yeah.
And that could be they've played an NFC team to open a season after they won the Super Bowl, right?
For sure. Here's one way to look at that. Would you take the Bills or that field to win the Super Bowl? Bills, one side gets Bills. We can make a $5 bet here. I don't know who would want to bet it, though. One side gets Bills. The other side gets their entire away field for 2026.
I would probably – I mean, the Packers are pretty close, I think, to what the odds should be for the Bills to win it, just given that they don't – I think their conference is easier, and now that they have Parsons – I'm a big Jordan Love guy, so I definitely think the Bills have better odds and should have better odds, but I'm getting that team, and then I'm getting a bunch of other pretty good teams. Like
Bronco, I feel like it's three teams on that side. Broncos, Packers, and the four teams, Niners/Rams, which I guess is the Niners there probably.
I could get to, I think that side is more likely. Yeah.
All right. $5?
Then the Bills. I don't want to bet that, though.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm going to bet $5 against the Bills to win the Super Bowl. But yeah, just it's a lot about Green Bay for me more than anything on that side.
Their road is tougher. You know, it feels like now that we're at the season, we're talking about this whole one seed conversation a lot more and how important it is for the Bills. I saw Warren Sharp tweet yesterday about the Bills. That it has to, or no, I'm sorry, Scott Pianowski. It was Scott Pianowski that tweeted this about the Bills and said basically, like, if not now, when? Mm-hmm. And I guess we would have to start the conversation about how different it really would be if they got the one seed and what it would mean if even that didn't work to get the job done, right? Even that didn't get them to the Super Bowl, because there have been years where we've definitely talked about how important that is. It's just the schedule this time around really sets it up. Really looks like if you are going to do it, this looks like your year to do it. Your schedule, Baltimore has a tougher road. Kansas City has a tougher road. Cincinnati, whoever else you want to include in the AFC, they're all tougher roads than mm-hmm. what the Bills have to get to the best record. So, you know, the quest begins, I guess, tomorrow with Chiefs Chargers. Whoever starts 1-0, you know, you're chasing them.
Yep.
But I just wonder how much we would change about everything. Pressure. You said, you know, you're not at the point where winning a Super Bowl would be a relief yet, but you will get there eventually.
Yes.
If a one seed happens and it doesn't turn into the Super Bowl, well, you would enter the list of trash pile teams like the Titans and the Ravens in the last couple of years that have done the same thing.
You also would check off, you'd have every box now checked off of, well, I haven't done this yet. Like, before, it was, you know, haven't lost a playoff game at home. And it's just get it home and let's go on a run. And then you lost to the Bengals. And it's like, okay, I guess I can't be perfect at home in the playoffs. Then it was, well, the Chiefs haven't come here. And then the Chiefs did come here. And you lost that way. So, okay, I've lost both of those ways. Then I went back on the road and lost. And the one thing they still haven't had or done, and I think this is the most valuable of all of those because it's more about strength of opponent for me than anything, is you haven't had that one seed. And if they were to get the one seed and then still not make it, that would be everything, right? Like, they would have had every different opportunity and not found a way to get through. I guess maybe the one thing is you haven't had a path that doesn't include Kansas City, but I don't know how often.
You can't control that.
You can't control that. You might never get that. Yeah. So the one seed, though, is the thing. And I still think that that's where it's really set up for them. The schedule, the division is getting that, getting the free playoff win, getting a Steelers or a Jaguars or some AFC South team in the second round so that I don't have to play two of the top two teams in the conference.
Have you really ever sat and thought maybe the answer to this is an obvious yes, because 13 seconds, that's how close they were to hosting the AFC Championship game, but
yeah.
You know, the final season of Highmark is going to be romantic for a lot of people. And if you lay out this scenario, it's very romantic. But hosting the AFC Championship game in any season is incredible.
Yeah.
And you have a generation of fans here, of course, that haven't done it. I started really thinking about what it would be like to be in the stadium, in my seat, regardless of opponent. I know, like, the Chiefs, that's a storyline. I don't care if it's the Jaguars or mm-hmm. the Texans. You know, a team you think you're going to beat or you think is a tough matchup. The idea of actually sitting there and thinking, I'm watching them play a game, and if they win it, they go to the Super Bowl. I sat with that idea yesterday. Maybe you guys do that all the time. Maybe mm-hmm. you never allow yourself to do that. But I really sat with that. Like, what would we do? What would it look like?
The game ends. The goalposts coming down. I mean, if there was ever a more likely time for that to happen again, it would probably be the final game.
Would we spend the night in the parking lot?
Sure.
Would people leave?
No.
That's a real question.
Tailgate round two?
Why? Is it 6? Wait, this year's at 3 p.m. or 6 p.m.? I should look that up.
The AFC change. Here we go. The morning of the schedule the season starting, we're going to look up the time of the AFC championship.
I think it's early this year. It was late last year, right?
Is that how they do it? They just go back and forth?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And last year, they played the late game. We knew if they won, they would play the Eagles. The Eagles won earlier in the day. It was kind of a, you know, not that competitive of a game. It was okay.
Yeah. The AFC championship will be at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. All right. Game ends, and we all just stay there.
We all stay there, and how? Oh, this would be cool. Would they put the NFC Championship up on the scoreboard?
That's a good question.
Hey, hang out in the stadium. No one's leaving. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to watch the game that decides who we play.
Yeah. I feel like calling that on the fly, there are a lot of employees that would be thinking, like, I'd like to go home now.
Yeah. That's probably right.
Or maybe not. Maybe they don't care, and they think, you know, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. Everything's gravy at this point.
Right.
803-0550 is our phone number. Bills and Ravens. The injury news is not good. It's not really good for either team, right?
Correct. Alexander for the Ravens is the best news maybe that either team had. Because Benford is great news. I just would have thought Benford was on track to play. So I guess that's not that surprising. Whereas Jaire Alexander playing this Sunday, to me, would be pretty surprising. He had not practiced in over a month. And I don't think the optimism sounded very good, and it's only one limited practice. It doesn't mean he has to play, but no likely, no Ricard. I think that just could be totally different to how the Ravens line up and who plays for the. Is that a Taron Johnson game now suddenly so because they don't have the fullback or the other tight end? And then for the Bills, I have no idea who's going to be playing at corner.
There are numbers about their efficiency when they don't have. Likely, or they don't have Ricard on the field, like their formations and what they do. So if you're someone that's out here very, very afraid of Derrick Henry, he lost a couple of pretty big pieces in there, Patrick Ricard and Isaiah Likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's when they line up to play big boy football, I mean, those are the two guys that are almost always on the field, and they don't have them. So, you know, on the other hand, it does kind of lead into what the Ravens might want to attack on the Bills on Sunday is if there's a Jamarcus Ingram out there on the field or a Dorian Strong out there on the field, that they're probably going to want to go more attacking at that player. They're going to want to use Henry. But if I were them, I would see a six-round rookie out there and go, let's just get Zay Flowers over there against him. Mm-hmm. Or even if it's Hopkins. Just pro receiver that's been doing it. Like, he's just going to have that kid in a pretzel for the entire game. So I think that could be a negative, even if, you know, Ricard and Likely aren't out there.
For sure. The good news is they might have thought the same thing if they saw Trey White over there, even though he's not a rookie.
Maybe.
You never know. They might respect him for what he did for them last year, but no, you know, all right, we're going to win this matchup all day. Are people confident? Are people nervous? Or are people just excited to have the game back?
I think
have football back.
Combination of the last two.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how confident. I think it's more nervousness about maybe expecting that this one could not go great. Continuation of the playoff game. Without the mistakes.
Right. Which might have been, if there's one more quarter in that game, Baltimore might have the time to, you know, get it done.
Yes. Like
they made their own mistakes. They shot themselves in the foot, and you played mistake-free football. Can the Bills continue to do that all year long? One thing about this game, in terms of how it will frame the season, this Bills-Baltimore opener. Well, if let's say they lose 35-10, the exact score of last year. That's the only reason I picked that.
Okay.
We could immediately lean back on, like, all right, well, 35-10 last year, and then they beat him in the playoffs, so who cares? You know,
yep.
This game doesn't matter. The thing it actually would do, though, is it would kind of create a bar. You set a bar for it. If they, I'll say all week, and I've said all week, if they win this game, I'll be really impressed. Because I think Baltimore is a great team. Every bit as good as the Bills, and maybe right now better because of the Bills have some significant injuries, and the Bills have young players that will need to play really big roles. I don't know what TJ Sanders and Deion Walker are going to provide yet. I don't know how Cole Bishop's going to look in the secondary, and maybe Baltimore doesn't know how Malachi Starks is going to look back there either. But I've got questions on the Bills. And this first game will kind of set a baseline for that, right? How does everybody look? All right, they lost. And then in 5 weeks, in 7 weeks, in 10 weeks, are we looking at a defense that has really found its game? And it might take that many weeks to find out, Joe, because maybe we don't get full confidence in what the defense is until they play Cincinnati or until they play Kansas City or until they play one of these better teams, right? After Baltimore, it's the Jets, the Saints are in there. Sure, there's a Miami game, which might be a decent test, but I do feel like this season is a little bit about watching their new-look defense come together through injuries, through young players, and, of course, through the addition of two free agents they'll add after week seven. So I get a baseline, not to make a concussion testing comparison, but, you know, your baseline test and then how you respond afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, this is your baseline test. It's week one. It's your zero. And where you go from here is really ultimately the story of the season more than this game itself is.
The thing, though, about their defense that gets criticized more than anything isn't it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What they do when they get to the playoffs.
Right.
And that, how much of an answer can you give to that during these regular season games when they've had great defenses that last year I would not consider one of them, but they've had great defenses in the regular season that show up in the playoffs and don't get the job done to the same degree. So there's always going to be that, yeah, but with their defense, even if it looks good throughout the entire year, I still think there's going to be that yeah, but about them. So it will be interesting. It should be valuable to see what they look like because you'd want to believe they've learned lessons along the way about how they play defense in those playoff games. And like that playoff game last year, they tried to do it differently. They tried to throw in more man coverage. And I mean, think about that Ravens mistake that Jackson makes where he puts the ball on the ground. That's a safety blitz around the corner they had been setting up. And what's their reputation been more about on defense in the playoffs? It's you just kind of hang back there and everybody knows what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And you just line up and play. And that was, I set that up and I threw an extra wrinkle in and it worked. And then with Kansas City, they tried that. It just wasn't. They didn't have the personnel for it. So, you know, I'll want to take some stock in what they do in the regular season defensively, but you're going to hear a lot of, yeah, but they do this a lot where they're really good at defense in the regular season and then don't have that come to fruition in the playoffs. The one thing that could be different about that, though, might be Bosa, because that's one individual, like that's one job, pass rusher that they've been searching for. And if he's performing throughout the year and looking really good, that's going to feel like something you can count on when you get to one of those big games in January. Is that guy's just going to be a hellraiser that I haven't had in one of those games. Vaughn was on his way to doing it and then got injured. So that would be the one difference. Like, I don't know what you could say about Bosa that would say, oh, he's not going to do it when you get to the postseason if he's out there with like 12 sacks in December.
803-0550, our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. Describe your feelings in a word or two. You know, give us a thought and jump on an open phone line at 803-0550. Tonight it's Eagles and Cowboys, and we see the Micah Parsons-less Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
We see the tush push again.
Yes, the tush push.
Welcome back to the
tush
push.
For at least one more year.
Right. You know, whatever, the tush push. I think the tush push stinks. I've thought it stinks the whole time. I think it stinks that people celebrate it. I think it stinks that people say, "Oh, if just one team does it, I guess that's how good they are." Blah blah blah. I think it stinks. I think stinks. I think it stinks when the Bills do it, even though they're good at it.
They are.
It works. It mostly. We have some sensitive memories on that. But
yeah,
whatever.
Will the Bills go to the right on a QB sneak this year? Because that was the thing, right? They went left every single time last year.
That's what Allen wants, right? That's his back foot. That's playing his back foot.
Well, I mean, someone's got to. But at this point, someone's got to tell him, like, all right, like I know it's the side you like to go to, but now everybody knows it. So what are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? Are you going to learn?
Wouldn't they know that? The week before the AFC Championship game, everybody knew the Bills were going to go to the right.
Uh-huh.
Well, the left.
The left, right, yeah.
His left, defense is right.
Defense is right.
Yeah, the week before that, everybody knew. The week before that, everybody knew. Haven't they gone to the right?
That's why they got stopped, right?
Is it why they got stopped? Because, again, like the multiple weeks before and months before, everybody knew where they wanted to go, and they did not get stopped. I don't know why they got stopped. I don't have an answer for you.
But again, they've got, I went through this a couple weeks ago, they've got stopped on QB sneaks in a lot of big moments.
High profile moments,
In games over the years. So, you're right, maybe that's not the reason, but I think the Chiefs talked about it, didn't they? They talked about after that game, like, yeah, we knew exactly where he was going to go every single time, and we were ready for it. So, yeah, maybe I should assume everybody does know that, but I don't know, like, just... Does every goalie study every player in a shootout, or is there like...
Yes.
Do every goalie does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Owen?
Every player in the team?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I used to have a scouting report on every guy's tendencies, top three moves if we had them. That was how we did it.
Then I would assume every NFL team should probably also know
things like that. Yeah, I would certainly imagine that NFL teams have that sort of... information and data, and we'll go right to it.
It would be different though if they knew what was happening, but they didn't know like the trick to stop it. And Kansas City just showed everybody what the trick to stop it is.
I mean, what are the chances of that?
They stopped it three times.
All of a sudden, the Bills are not the Chiefs showed a trick
on Allen's sneak.
And it's over. They can. That's
not
why.
Over. Just mix in. Go to the other side.
No, I know.
Go turns over the top.
McDermott spent this entire offseason wanting to ban it because the Chiefs stopped it and figured theirs out. He's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, the thing was always interesting. I thought they got misconstrued about McDermott with that. Is he talked about the injury risk of it, and everybody was. Well, you use it for Allen, but the exact wording I remember McDermott using was, I don't want to do what it would take to stop it. It almost sounded like, I know what I would have to do on defense to stop it, but I don't want to do it because it's going to get my guys injured. Yeah. And I wonder if he has the same idea that I do, where you push one of your linebackers in like he's the quarterback.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Have you seen the spread in this game recently?
For tonight or for the Bills?
For Bills-Ravens.
I saw there was movement to the Ravens side.
Yes.
Then the Ravens are now favored.
I'm double-checking right now because we have in the chat, James wrote in, Vegas already says we're the best team in the AFC. Expectation should be to show Baltimore exactly that. No excuses. I'm double-check. I saw last night at least one book had them as underdogs in the game.
Yeah, they at the moment are +1.5. They opened, I think, at -2, and that opened like a month ago, but now it's moved.
So take that for what it's worth. You think Vegas expects the Bills to be better and show them who they are? They're underdogs in this game.
Well, who's Vegas in this context? The sports books think the Bills should have been favored because they said it, and I think people have been betting the Ravens, and that's what moved it. So bettors are moving it.
Sure, and Vegas moves the line. I mean, that's always how it works. That's how it works for futures bets, too.
Right.
Like, you're trying to get money. So if we're saying Vegas thinks they're the AFC champions, Vegas also thinks right now they are underdogs.
Sure, right. But they're only doing that because all the bettors are basically saying, you're wrong, the Ravens are better, and that's why we're forcing you to move it.
Okay, well, but all I'm saying is that's the same as if they're +700. That's because there's enough money on them. They don't want to have more of a liability and make them like +2200 or something like that.
All right.
I don't know.
My brain hurts.
I kind of pretend to know how Vegas works. It's something I do at 6 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550. Larry in South Florida quickly before the break. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. One thing, my feeling is either Baltimore – I'm flying down Sunday morning – or flying up Sunday morning so I can catch a game and then flying back Monday. But my feeling is either Baltimore is really going to whoop on us just because of our injuries on defense, or it's going to be an extremely close game like the playoff game. And I think the key to victory for us, if that happens, McDermott's got to save those timeouts for the last 2 minutes, because I have a feeling Baltimore is going to probably score. We're going to get the ball maybe with a minute 30, something to go. And if we don't have those timeouts to get us down the field, or whatever you do with timeouts first half, whatever, but the second half, I think it's so important if McDermott, you know, because he gets a little nervous sometimes in the third quarter, I'll take an early timeout to reset the defense, reset the guys. But I really want to see him preserve those timeouts. I'd love your thoughts on that.
It's funny as you say that, like, welcome back to football season.
Yes.
The Kodaks are back, right? Like, where McDermott takes a timeout because he wants to get a look at what the offense is going to do, call a defensive timeout, talk about it, and then go out there with a game plan.
Like, yeah, the little things that annoy some Bills fans along the way.
Yeah,
some, right.
Those are going to be back. You know, when you say, I feel like it's either going to be a Baltimore blowout or the Bills are going to win one close, or they're going to need this. What you're saying is the only thing you don't yourself, Larry, predict is the Ravens get blown out by the Bills, which I don't know. I expect a very competitive game. I expect to see Josh Allen at his best. I've started drafting Keon Coleman in lots of fantasy football drafts all over the place. I've been making a point to get some Keon Coleman because I think he's going to put up some good numbers this year with the Bills. It's just an aside for you if you want a little fantasy fade, fantasy find thought on that. But, I mean, saving timeouts, sure.
Also, they've not been blown out at home
since the –
the Jonathan Taylor
Eagles, right? The Colts.
So, five years since that happened.
And involved, sure, the Jonathan Taylor game. It also involved a kickoff fumble where they scored right again before half. Like, whatever. I mean, blowouts are blowouts. It's how it works.
Yeah, November of 21, they lost 41-15. That's how long it's been since they got beat down at home.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. In the 6 a.m. club, Ed McGrogan of the Tennis Channel is going to join us on the other side. Jesse Pegula has a matchup in the semifinal tonight. He reached out and said, hey, just saying, you want to chat about it? And we love chatting with Ed from the Tennis Channel. So he's going to join us when we get back. And then, of course, plenty more on Bills-Ravens. I also feel like the Jesse Pegula story is a little bit like the Bills, right? Really close, getting really close. And when do you finally break through? So I always find those comparisons for the Bills pretty much in everything I do. So just, it's the way that I am. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550. Happy NFL season kickoff day on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.